This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This show may contain strong language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised. There is nothing wrong with your radio. We are controlling transmission. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limit frequency.
Good evening, my name is Ricardo.
My name is Sam.
And this is the Outer Limit Frequency.
Stephen Wilson is often considered very much a musician's musician, and along with his band Porcupine Tree, which has been described as the most important band you've never heard of, they're pretty great. Porcupine Tree are one of the best prog rock and metal bands around, and played a pretty big part in that scene in the 90s and early 2000s, and Stephen Wilson's solo career has been full of great songs in his more experimental style. Yes, even more experimental than prog. With 6 solo albums and 11 albums with Porcupine Tree, it can be pretty damn daunting to dip your toes into the world of Stephen Wilson, so we have put together a bit of a beginner's guide to help you out. Side note, we will not be including his other bands, as there just isn't enough time to get into all of that.
Among fans of Porcupine Tree, there is often thought of as being a golden era of sorts, a run of albums where the planets aligned just right and the band reached a higher gear. This period starts after the release of Lightbulb Sun in 2000, which is a totally underrated album by the way, and runs through to 07's Fear of a Blank Planet, which we'll be getting onto later. And smack bang in the middle of all that sits Deadwing. Deadwing was released in 2005, and it's a record that delicately balances serious, explorative progressive rock aspirations with the irresistible appeal of crunchy hard rock guitars that Porcupine Tree albums were flooded with in the 90s. Deadwing's detractors tend to play up these diversions into butt rock adjacent as a massive flaw in the record. Or they say that the prog elements are too proggy and disconnected for their own good. And while your personal tolerance for either end of that scale may vary, it's hard to deny that Deadwing brings a lot to the table and has a lot to like. This album also sees Wilson flexing his reputation and coming up with some very choice guest musicians as a result. Opeth frontman Mikhail Akerfeld provides backing vocals on several tracks, and a very tasty guitar solo on the album's centrepiece, the 12-minute Arriving Somewhere But Not Here. Also, King Crimson's Adrian Ballow provides additional guitar in a few songs. Opeth and King Crimson are bands with which Wilson has had a strong relationship, so the appearance of these two icons actually makes perfect sense. So, for my two cents, whether you're new to this prog rock game or an old head like me, Deadwing is the ideal place to start one's journey into Porcupine Tree. This is Mellotron Scratch.
Scratching on the Mellotron, it always seems
I'm just guessing here, but I think it's safe to say that Ricardo is more into Porcupine Tree than he is into solo Wilson. Me, on the other hand, it's more the other way around. So for my most accessible pick, it was easy to go straight to the album that started it for me, and that is Hand Cannot Erase. I didn't get into Porcupine Tree at all until after I heard this album in 2015, despite being told by quite a few different people how great they were, and Hand Cannot Erase was honestly a great starting point, because while it was a little odd in places, this was definitely a lot more straightforward than much of his other work. Yet somehow, despite being as accessible as this is, it's also unapologetically Stephen Wilson. It's deep and complex, it's dark and contemplative, it's also a lot lighter than much of what I would discover later. So from that album, this is the almost title track, Hand Cannot Erase, just without the punctuation.
Hey!
2007 saw the release of Porcupine Tree's 9th album, and it quickly became my favourite of the lot. Fear of a Blank Planet reaches for the same zeitgeist-born enlightenment that OK Computer did 10 years earlier, and Dark Side of the Moon did a further 25 years earlier again. It's a record that is very concerned with the banal tragedies of modern life. The songs cover such topics as prescription drug addiction, crumbling families, luxury distractions, internet addiction, depression, and an inescapable sense of existential angst. No wonder I've always found this album to be weirdly relatable. It should be no surprise that the album's title directly references another underrated work of social consciousness and music, Public Enemy's Fear of a Black Planet, and God help the person that got the albums mixed up and brought the wrong one. Much like its predecessor, Deadwing, Fear of a Blank Planet isn't afraid to bring in some high-profile guests, including Alex Lifeson from Rush and the inimitable guitar warlock himself, Robert Fripp. It's for that reason that I feel that Fear of a Blank Planet perfected the Porcupine Tree formula. Accordingly, to me at least, Blank Planet is about as well-rounded of a listening experience that Wilson and the lads ever produced, and a brilliant entry point to the band. From that album, this is Sentimental.
Someone brought the keys to me, and it
In Absentia, the 2002 release by Porcupine Tree is widely considered to be the best album to start off with. And yeah, it is really good for that, but we had to talk about some others first, because they just simply don't get the love they deserve. In Absentia, on the other hand, certainly does. Largely because of the song Trains, but it also contains The Sound of Muzak, Strip the Soul, and Blackest Eyes, which are all among the best songs that Stephen Wilson or Porcupine Tree have ever released. For me, the best here is Blackest Eyes. It kicks off the album beautifully and sets the scene for what you're about to spend the next 68 minutes listening to.
In 2008, Stephen Wilson branched away from Porcupine Tree in a big way with the release of his first solo record, Insurgentes. The album was named after a famous street in Mexico, Avenida de los Insurgentes, or Avenue of the Insurgents, which was close to one of the studios Wilson used to record it. As far as first solo albums go, Insurgentes was a great showcase at the time for who Stephen Wilson was without the restraints or dogma of his famous band behind him. The fact that it's even proggier than his other work should have come as a little surprise. Even less so when its follow-up, The Raven That Refused to Sing, pushed even further in that direction, but Sam's going to talk more on that later. Even the song titles carry more than a passing resemblance to a certain maroon monarch that still looms large over the universe of progressive rock after all these years. And Wilson is no stranger to them either. Just 1 year after the release of Insurgentes, he would be tasked with a full King Crimson discography remaster. From here on, Wilson was a made man in the world of progressive rock. And from Insurgentes, this is Stephen Wilson with No Twilight Within the Courts of the Sun.
I suppose I pray what I despise.
After hearing Hand Cannot Erase, when that was their most recent release, naturally you go back one album and check that out. And man, was that a choice, because The Raven That Refused to Sing and Other Stories is, as an album, not a good place to start. The reason I'm putting it here, though, is because after listening to a bit of what this guy is about, this stands out as one of his most artistic products yet. It's only 6 tracks, and as the album title suggests, each song tells a separate story. The title track here is absolutely fantastic, but it's also just a smidge depressing. The Watchmaker is my personal favourite from the album and tells the story of an old watchmaker who kills his wife, but she won't leave because she's been with him for 50 years, so why stop now? And then Haunting. It's messed up, but also quite long. So instead we're going with Drive Home, which by itself is quite an easy listen, and a good little taste of what this album will give you. Death and ghosts and that whole thing. So here it is.
Try.
Back at the start of this episode, I mentioned Porcupine Tree being the most important band you've never heard of. Well, running with that whole thing and how important they were to the 90s, I would like to suggest that Signify is by extension the most important album you've never heard of, or at least one of the best. This was the first Porcupine Tree actually recorded as a band rather than just Stephen Wilson, and while it may not be a great starting point if you're not into prog or space rock, if you are, this is it. This is the one to go for first, and just absolutely blow your mind. Every Home Is Wired is an absolute trip with 37 overdubbed vocal tracks. Light Mass Prayers was written by the drummer and contains no drums, and the title track Signify is an instrumental cover of sorts of a krautrock song from 1972. It's all pretty weird and all over the place. And the album ends with one hell of a track, Dark Matters. It wraps things up with an 8-minute descent into madness that, just in case the rest of the album hadn't got you there, this one will do the trick. And I simply could not think of a better song to play right now.
Inside the vehicle, the cold is extreme. Smoke in my throat kicks me out of my dream. I try to relax, but it's warmer outside. I fail to connect, it's a tragic divide.
Thank you.
this is all well and fine, you might be thinking, but why are you all talking about Porcupine Tree in the year 2022? Well, that's because this year saw the band drop their first album in 12 years, Closure Continuation. After the release of the incident in 2009, Stephen Wilson turned his attention to the solo career, as we've been saying, essentially regarding Porcupine Tree to being a side project. But unbeknownst to us, he had secretly been working on Porcupine Tree's big comeback album. For 11 years. That's right. Closure Continuation had been in production ever since 2011. Once again, prog rock proves it is the music of choice for the patient. But is Closure Continuation a good starting place for an aspiring Porcupine Tree fan? Yes and no. It's one of the band's most varied albums, which makes it easy to like, which is good. However, I feel as though us pre-existing fans are more easily able to spot the many sonic, thematic, musical references to previous works, making it just that little bit more rewarding. But don't take my word for it. Please. Closure Continuation currently stands as one of 2022's best prog rock albums, so if that sounds like the sort of thing you might like, you really don't have a choice in the matter now, do you? From that album, this is my favourite song, Walk the Plank.
This ship is now underwater. And the rats will never find their way back again. And my span, it gets shorter.
1, 2, 3.
And I don't appear to fit my skin anymore.
Just the ebbing of the day.
Thank you once again for tuning into the Outer Limit Frequency. If you like the sort of things that we talk about, jump onto your streaming service of choice and look us up. We're going to have lots of episodes there and you'll find something that you will like. And since you're coming back next week, in an earlier episode we looked at alternate versions of songs that were released that tickled our fancy, and this next week we're going to go a little bit larger in focus as we look at alternate versions of albums that were released that tickled our fancy. We'll see you then.
You've just had a heavy session of electroshock therapy, and you're more relaxed than you've been in weeks. All those childhood traumas magically wiped away, along with most of your personality.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.